Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Well, we're turning to Exodus chapter 20 once again. The last time I was with you, I failed to record the message. And I did that, very simply, by not pressing a little button on the microphone here. And so I missed the recording. There's a lesson there for us, boys and girls. We can miss something very, very easily and not be able to recall or recapture the event we missed. When I went home and discovered that I had just forgotten to press that one little button, it vexed me. But there was nothing I could do. I couldn't reach out, as it were, and grab again the recording. It was gone. And in life, we will discover that by some little mistake or failure on our part, we have missed something that we can never repeat. That's a truth we must ever bear in mind. Oftentimes there are opportunities given to us which if we don't take and seize with both hands, we never get a chance to do again. It's especially so, boys and girls, with getting saved. God gives us an opportunity to do that. And if we fail to take that opportunity, we never get a chance again. And even at this moment, there are millions out in eternity who remember when they stood before the open door. God had opened the door for them, but they failed to obey Him. And they lost the opportunity. And now they are lost. Lost forever. Oh, boys and girls, while God speaks, let us hear and let us answer Him. Let us respond. Well, come with me now to Exodus, and it's the chapter 20, and the verse 13. Now, this is a very short little verse. Indeed, it's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. Not the shortest, but it's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. But being short doesn't mean we should ignore it, because it's a very important verse. It's the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Men need to be taught that. Men need to be told that they're not allowed to kill. Though, having been told by God that they are not to kill, has not stopped men killing their fellow men. Murder is very common. Without a shadow of a doubt, this day, in our United Kingdom, there will be someone killed at the hands of others, contrary to God's law. And throughout the world, there'll be many, many, many killed, contrary to the law of God. Life will be ended by those filled with hatred, filled with anger. They will end the life of another, and they will have broken the sixth commandment. We're going to closely study it, because it doesn't say what some people think it says. The word kill here translated in our verse is elsewhere translated by the word murderer. God is saying thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not be a murderer. In Numbers chapter 35 and the verse 16, God says, and if he smite him with an instrument of iron, in other words, hit him with an iron bar so that he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. The word translated murderer there is the same word as in our commandment here, translated kill. What that teaches us is this, boys and girls. This commandment does not condemn all killing. All killings are not wrong. I want you to know that. There are killings that God says are very wrong and contrary to His commandment, but not all killings are such. Let me explain it. There are killings that are accidental. People are killed accidentally. And when that happens, the person who has been the cause of that accidental killing has not broken this commandment. they didn't intend to kill. It was an accident. Again, quoting from Numbers and the same chapter, the chapter 35, it says in verse 11, "Then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killed any person unaware." So God had certain cities set aside as cities of refuge, and they were situated throughout Israel in such a fashion that no matter where you lived, there was a city near to you. And if you, by accident, happened to kill someone, not intending to, but just by accident, for instance, if you were chopping wood, and the axe head flew off the handle and hit someone and killed them. You didn't intend that to happen, but it has happened. And if members of that person's family rose up in anger to kill you, you could run to the nearest city of refuge, and there you were safe. You were under the protection of the authorities in that city, and the avenger could not come and kill you. So it's clear that God recognized that some killings, being accidents, were not in breach of this rule, this commandment. Then again, there are killings which are judicial. That's a big word. But what we might say is they are legal. They're according to the law. Listen to what we read away back in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Now that's what God said. If someone murders, then they are to be put to death. That's the law of God. The death penalty was to follow an act of murder. And when the murderer was put to death, that did not contravene or break the sixth commandment. Of course, men have overturned that law in our land for quite some years now. Government changed the law of God, and the murderer did not pay the penalty God says he should pay, even forfeit his life. And it's not just in the United Kingdom, but in many, many parts of the world, laws have been passed that contravene the law of God, and the murderer is not made to pay the price God says he should pay. So there are killings which are judicial or legal, and they do not contravene this commandment. Then there's another type of killing which doesn't contravene this commandment. There are killings which are justifiable. For instance, you know very well the story of David killing Goliath. Now, when David killed Goliath, he did not break the sixth commandment. What he did was just and right and met with God's approval. Goliath was a defier, a mocker, a blasphemer of God, a threat to God's people, who was intent on taking the lives of God's people. And David stepped forward as a champion, a defender of God's people, and a revenger of God's broken law, because Goliath had defied God and mocked God. And in breaking God's law by doing this, he was to be subject to the death penalty. And David was only the executor of God's vengeance. And there are many like David that you read about in the Old Testament, and what they did when they killed someone was justifiable because that someone had broken the law of God and had a penalty to face. You can't break God's law and live. That's why, if you're not saved, what happens to you as a result of you not being saved is called the second death eternally. God will inflict upon the person who rejects the gospel an eternal death penalty. Perfectly justifiable. Perfectly right. So, I'm trying to set before you that this commandment does not condemn all killings. However, this commandment does condemn the taking of the life of others out of hatred, out of anger, or out of revenge. Indeed, this commandment goes further than just saying it's wrong to kill someone. It tells us that we are breaking this commandment when we hate someone. Because it says in 1 John, New Testament, the chapter 3 and the verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He hasn't lifted his hand up. He hasn't struck out at his brother. But God counts him a murderer because he has hated his brother. In his mind, he had done him to death. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he planned to do. That's what he hoped to do. And God counted the wish, the will, as an act. Of course, that is found in many places in the Bible. A person wishing to do something is considered by God as being guilty of having done that. You know, man does not grasp this. Man doesn't understand this. There are those who have said, I haven't broken God's commandments. I haven't killed anybody. But if they have hated someone, God counts that as an act of murder. Consequently, men and women and boys and girls have broken the commandments at a time when they didn't realize they were breaking God's commandment. There are other commandments coming up which are broken constantly by people who don't actually commit the deed, but in their mind they covet or they lust after that which is forbidden. And God counts that. That mental activity as being the same as a physical activity and actually breaking physically his law. God counts it a breach of his law. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's 1 John, as I said, 3, verse 15. This is how murder begins. This is the root of murder. And boys and girls, we can go out into the forest and we can see a huge oak tree, many, many, many feet high, spreading great branches, and I can hold up an acorn, and I can say, that's an oak tree. And it is. It's an oak tree that hasn't developed, but it's an oak tree. And God is saying the same here. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's what the Lord Jesus said, Matthew chapter 15 and the verse 19. Out of the heart, there comes these wicked things. They're in the heart. And if they're in the heart, then there's a breaking of God's law. There's a breaking of God's law. When we hate someone, are angry against them so that we would wish them dead, that's the same as murder. You remember that. One last thing I'd say. Yet such is the great mercy of God that even murderers can have forgiveness. There are murderers undoubtedly in hell, unrepentant murderers. But there are those who have committed murder, but who are in heaven, because by the mercy of God they repented of their sin and sought forgiveness. Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 8, let me remind you that we're told the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But as I say, there are those who found mercy and pardon, even though they had committed the awful sin of murder. Listen to this. Paul the Apostle, confessed that when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. I agreed with it. I was one with those who actually threw the stones. I was in total agreement. Therefore, I was as guilty as they were. That's what Paul says of himself. And what he says in Acts chapter 22 in the verse 20 was a repeat of what the Holy Spirit had inspired the writer of the Acts of the Apostle, who was Luke, to write in chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. Saul was consenting. He was in agreement with. That made him guilty of the death of Stephen. But Paul was able to say these words, but I obtained mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I obtained mercy. God had mercy on me, pardoned my sin of murder as well as many other sins, for he opposed the Lord Jesus terribly and had brutally treated many Christians. But all this God forgave because Paul obtained mercy. God had mercy on him. While he was in sin, God stopped him, turned him right round, and made him an instrument of righteousness. Isn't it wonderful what God can do, boys and girls? Isn't it wonderful? Man can go out into a forest, can cut down a big lump of a tree, the bark of which is all scaly and broken and not very nice looking, but the skilled man can cut that tree up, and out of it can make the most beautiful piece of furniture, make its surface to shine, bring out the beautiful grain within it. That which had just been an old, ugly tree growing in the forest. Well, that's what God can do to a far, far greater degree. He can go into the forest of humanity and take out of it the ugliest looking old sinner, and he can make them beautiful. Aye, make them as beautiful as Christ by giving to them the very nature and character of Christ. Paul speaks of being saved as putting on Christ, putting on the beautiful garments of righteousness. Oh, how beautiful in heaven are those redeemed by the mercy of God. Even murderers are found there with all the likeness of Christ upon them. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, God can save you, deliver you, forgive you for the breaking of his law and bring you to heaven. Are you on your way there today? Are you? Have you known this wonderful work of saving mercy? Do you? Oh, I trust you do. I trust you do. Well, let's just bow in a word of prayer, boys and girls. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that the stern word of the law, which terrify the soul, is answered by the sweet and precious words of the gospel, which bring comfort to the sinner. May the boys and girls today know what it is to have obtained mercy from God. Bless our school. Bless every pupil, every parent, every teacher. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.